Well, if 10 or so days ago, on December the 29th and 30th, the weekend after Christmas, as you were wearing your new Christmas jumper, as you were eating the cold remnants of your Christmas dinner, as you were ploughing through all those chocolates, as you were watching a bit of Christmas TV, as you were doing all those things, if as well you also had a chance to have a leisurely read of the Saturday and Sunday Times newspapers that weekend, you would have read some of the following articles. You'd have read about the hottest cars of 2008, about sporting predictions of 2008, share selections for 2008, best investments for 2008, property price forecasts for 2008, 52 greatest weekends for 2008, food festivals of 2008, films of 2008, and even malicious computer software of 2008. Now, those were the articles in the newspaper that weekend, because that is the kind of thing that we want to read as a new year is about to begin. How we can be blessed financially in 2008. How we can be blessed with brilliant holidays. How we can be blessed by people thinking that we're amazing because of our new car. How we can be blessed with a problem-free computer. Blessing is what we are all after. And I think that includes blessing from God, whether we call ourselves a Christian or not. Even, a bit of an embarrassing confession here, but even before Christmas when I was watching The X Factor, I was just supporting my wife in her watching of it, obviously, but as I was watching The X Factor, it was fascinating, the presenter, Dermot O'Leary, as he finished the program each week, he'd always finish by saying, "God bless," to the millions of viewers watching on their TVs. I mean, Dermot O'Leary, he's not exactly some religious leader, is he? But he still says, "God bless." People want God's blessing. Now, even if they're not sure who God is, what he's like, or even if they're not certain whether God even exists or not. So I think that there should have been an article in the newspapers entitled "You and God" in 2008, discussing how to know God's blessing this coming year. There wasn't such an article, so I thought I'd make amends this week and next week. And today I hope we're going to learn something about how to receive God's blessing. By looking at this incident, it's not a particularly well-known incident, but this incident in the life of Jacob. It's right back in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. It's an incident, actually, I was reminded of in a talk last year by a pastor from New York called Tim Keller. In fact, when I heard his talk, I think all the talks I heard last year, his talk last year on this passage was the talk that had the biggest impact on me. And so in a sense, really today, I'm just passing on some of what Tim Keller has already said before. So let's get ourselves up to speed with Jacob. Jacob was, you may remember, he was the younger of two twin brothers. His brother was Esau, his dad was Isaac, and his grandpa was Abraham. And Isaac, the dad, Isaac loved Esau more than Jacob. And understandably, that hurt Jacob, it wounded him. And back in Genesis chapter 27, we read there that as Isaac was getting old, he wanted to give Esau, his favorite son, he wanted to give him his inheritance, his birthright blessing. Now Isaac, the dad, he was virtually blind by that point. So Jacob, he spots the opportunity and he dresses up as Esau. And he tricks his dad, Isaac, into giving him, Jacob, the blessing rather than giving it to Esau. Now almost immediately what happens is Esau comes in from his hunting trip. And Jacob's deception is discovered, and Jacob, he has to flee for his life to another country. Now the question is, why did Jacob bother to deceive his dad like this when the deception was obviously going to get found out pretty quickly? Why did he bother? Well, more than anything, it was because Jacob just wanted to hear words of blessing from his dad. To hear his dad actually say to him, "I love you, I delight in you." Jacob wanted to hear that. And for Jacob, the deception and its consequences were worth it just so he could hear that blessing from his father. And we're all the same, aren't we? We all desire blessing. Every one of us, we want someone outside of us. We can't bless ourselves. We want someone else to look at us and assure us that we're special. To tell us that we are worth something. To say we are of value, that we're okay. We all want that. To know that unconditional acceptance. And if we don't get that unconditional acceptance from our parents, then we'll look for that blessing from our spouse or from our lover. Or we'll look for that blessing from the acclaim of our colleagues as we succeed at work. But we all want that blessing, don't we? We all want it to have someone say to us, wow, you're great. But the problem is, we search for the blessing from our parents, from our lover, from our work. But the blessing never arrives. Or if the blessing does arrive, it doesn't stick, it doesn't remain, it fades, it evaporates over time. Listen to what C.S. Lewis says on exactly this point. This is C.S. Lewis. He says this. He says, most people, if they really learn to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want, and they want acutely, something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never keep their promise. The longings that arise in us the first time we fall in love, or first think of some foreign country, or first take up some subject that excites us, are longings that no marriage, no travel, no learning ever really satisfies. Now, I'm not speaking of what would ordinarily be called unsuccessful marriages or holidays and so on. I am speaking of the best possible ones. There is always something that we grasp at in that first moment that fades away in the reality. The spouse may be a good spouse. The scenery has been excellent. It has turned out to be a great job. But it has evaded us. And really, Jacob's life is a demonstration of that theme. Jacob looks for blessing from his father. He gets that blessing, but it doesn't work. And so he runs away. He meets this hot babe, Rachel. He says, it's okay. If I have her, then everything will be okay. I'll have that blessing. And eventually he gets her. Eventually he marries Rachel. But it isn't as perfect as he thinks. It doesn't satisfy. Jacob, he's wrestling all his life to get the blessing. But up until now, it has evaded him. Until now. As in our passage, we read of Jacob wrestling with God. Jacob at last now discovers the secret of receiving God's blessing, of knowing this unconditional acceptance. And we're going to see very briefly three things that are needed to receive God's blessing. And the first thing's this. The first need is to get personal with God. Here in chapter 32, Jacob, he's decided to return home with his huge family, his huge wealth. But he finds out, he hears about the fact that his brother Esau is coming to meet him. And he hears that Esau's bringing along 400 men. Now, Jacob's not stupid. He knows with Esau bringing 400 men that Esau's probably coming to get revenge and kill him. And so Jacob, he comes up with a plan, and he hatches this plan, which involves sending off all his family and his livestock and his servant. He sends them off all in various directions. He sends them off, night falls, and then Jacob, just look at verse 24, would you, of our passage, page 36. Jacob, verse 24, Jacob was left alone. Finally, he is alone. Without his family, without his possessions, without his busyness, he is alone. And he meets with God personally. And if you or I are going to receive God's blessing, we too, we need to get personal with God. If you strip everything else away, being an upright, law-abiding citizen, being a regular churchgoer, being someone who has lots of friends who are Christians, if you strip everything else away, do you have a genuine, personal relationship with God? You see, a blessed life is not a religious life. There are many people in this country, maybe even some in this room today, who think of themselves as religious, as spiritual. But the truth is that their faith is not genuine because it's not personal. You won't know God's blessing unless, like Jacob, when you strip everything else away, you have a personal relationship with God. The second thing needed to receive God's blessing is that we desire acceptance from God. In our passage, Jacob is wrestling with someone. Someone who is holding back enormous power. Someone, if you just look at verse 25, someone who, this someone, he, when he touches Jacob's hip socket, he just touches it. And that yet the whole hip is wrenched out of joint. This is someone who, in verse 26, someone who has to go before daybreak comes. He can't be seen. This someone is God. And Jacob realizes that. Jacob is wrestling with God. Now just think. Put yourselves in Jacob's shoes just for a second. What would you say if you found yourself wrestling with God? I mean, it would be more frightening than wrestling a sumo wrestler or wrestling Big Daddy or wrestling the entire All Blacks rugby team, wouldn't it? It would be petrifying. If it were me, I'd say, let me go, God, please let me go. I don't want to die, God. That's what I'd say. But look at what Jacob says. Look at the end of verse 26. This is what Jacob says. He says to God, end of verse 26, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Not God, please let me go. But God, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Unless you bless me. Jacob's number one desire from God is blessing. God's acceptance of him. What's your number one desire from God? Information about him? Inspiration for life? Perhaps help with a problem in life. Now, they're all fine things, but none of those things are the ultimate number one reason to go to God. But the number one reason to go to God is because God is God. And we need his acceptance, his blessing. Until we're saying, I don't care what my circumstances are. I don't care if I'm rich or I'm poor. I don't care if I'm married or I'm single. I don't care whether I'm well or I'm ill. I don't care. I don't care if I die. I just need you, God. I desire you because you are you. You're the source of blessing. I need your acceptance. Until then, we're not really doing business with God. A blessed life is not necessarily a sorted life where I'm rich, I'm healthy, I'm happily married. A blessed life is one where we know that God accepts us. So get personal with God. Desire acceptance from God. And thirdly and finally, allow invasion from God. Lord Melbourne, he was the 19th century Prime Minister of this country. He once said this. He said, things have come to a pretty pass when religion is allowed to invade the sphere of private life. You see, he thought that religion was just about a nice set of cultural rules to keep people well-mannered and polite, to smooth society. But Lord Melbourne couldn't have been further from the truth, because we will not receive God's blessing until we allow God to invade our private lives. And Jacob certainly lets God do that, doesn't he? Just look, would you, at verse 28. Mid-wrestle with God, God says this. He says to Jacob, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Jacob let God change his name. But so often we try and change the name of God. Just before Christmas, I went to a friend's wedding, and during the meal at reception, I got talking to the chap who was sitting next door to me. I knew him very vaguely from university days, but I hadn't seen him in about 12 years. And as it often happens in these times, when I get talking with someone, there's a bit of intrigue and interest when people find out what job I do. And this chap, as we talked, we had this really good discussion, not just about my job, but we talked about God, we talked about the claims of Christianity. And then this guy, he said, "I don't think that God exists, but if he does, I think God is probably like this." And then he proceeded to list a series of qualities and attributes and views on various things that he thought God should have. All, funnily enough, exactly the same attributes and views that he had. Now, I listened politely as he went on for a number of minutes, and then he finished, and then I said this. I said, "The trouble is, that's not God. You're just making up an imaginary God in exactly your image, exactly how you want God to be." And this chap, he paused, he thought for a bit, and he said, "You're right, that's exactly what I'm doing. Exactly what I'm doing." Do you see, he was trying to change God rather than being prepared to let God change him. He was more concerned about producing a God in his image rather than him being molded into God's image. He was miles away from allowing God to invade into his private life. And if we're like that, we won't know God's blessing. A blessed life, it is not necessarily a comfortable life. Indeed, it probably won't be. Jacob, he ends up with a limp, doesn't he, as a result of getting God's blessing. Unless we allow God to turn things around in our lives, to change things in our lives, because let's face it, for every single one of us here, there are things in our lives that do need changing. Unless we're prepared for that, we will not know God's blessing. But here's the amazing thing. Once we have received God's blessing, it is permanent and it is unconditional. Now, I can lose my wife's blessing if I hurt her, if I commit adultery. I can lose my parents' blessing if I refuse to speak to them, if they die. But I can't lose God's blessing. Regardless of my record this last week, God loves me unconditionally and for eternity, right through death. And that changes you. It changed Jacob. This night here, it was Jacob's conversion moment. But in the last 2 minutes, it may be quite rightly, you've got one question. Because we've seen, haven't we? We've seen how to receive God's blessing by getting personal with him, by desiring acceptance from him, by allowing invasion from him. And we've seen that once we get God's blessing, once we have it, it is unconditional. It is permanent. But you may still have a question. Why? Why can we receive God's blessing in the first place? Why should God bless us with his unconditional acceptance when we are all, let's face it, imperfect, selfish, not particularly admirable, not particularly acceptable? Why did God bless Jacob when Jacob was not particularly admirable or acceptable? Well, in the darkness of that night, God took on weakness to bring blessing to Jacob. He didn't just destroy Jacob, did he, like he could have done? He took on weakness. But in the darkness, centuries later, on a hill just outside of Jerusalem, God literally became weak to bring blessing to us all in Jesus Christ. That the rightful punishment that we deserve, that Jacob deserved, on the cross, that punishment, it came down upon the Lord Jesus. As Isaiah the prophet said, he said, Jesus, he was crushed for our iniquities. It is because of Jesus that Jacob was able to live, to testify through this incident, to testify. He says in verse 30, he says, I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. How could that be possible? Because Jesus was crushed for Jacob's iniquities. That's why Jacob's life was spared. It's why we can be spared too. It's why we can know God's blessing. This unconditional acceptance from God, it's only found in Jesus. And it is only because of Jesus that we can receive God's blessing. Let's pray. I'm going to pray a personal prayer that you might like to echo for yourself. Almighty God, please bring me to a point of getting personal with you, of desiring your acceptance more than anything else, of allowing you to invade my life. And as you bring me to that point, please bless me in Jesus Christ. Please accept me because of what Jesus has done on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.